Welcome to the Hometown Bluegrass Show weekly podcast presented by Allen Music Shop. Co-hosts Tim Batts and 20-time Bluegrass Guitar Player of the Year Josh Williams will talk about the latest bluegrass news, interview folks in the industry, and give you lighthearted stories and music tips along the way. Now, here's Tim and Josh.
Hey, everybody, this is Tim Batts with the Hometown Bluegrass Show alongside my dear friend Josh Williams.
Hello.
How you doing, buddy?
I am here.
Good. I'm really glad you're here because this would be really awkward doing this by myself.
No, I think you could do it if you absolutely had to.
Well, that's true. That's true. I just couldn't add quite the flair.
I'm just kidding. No, you couldn't.
Exactly. Don't give me no credit like that.
That's right.
Exactly. Well, we're glad to be here. We got a great show lined up for you tonight. We got lots of cool things to talk about, some neat things coming up. And our special guest on this episode is going to be Andrea Roberts.
We're excited
to talk to her. And Andrea is very well known in the industry, has done many things from singing back in the day and playing bass. And now she just she's a promoter and she's IBMA board member and all kind of stuff. So
is she a board member now?
Yeah.
She probably has been for a long time too, hasn't she?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. So
she's I guess I just don't keep up with a lot of that stuff.
Well, that's all right.
She's just always going to be the big sister I never really wanted.
I know it. So I can't wait to get you two on the phone together and start a fight.
Oh, man.
Well, that's cool. We're excited to have her. So you were at the Grand Ole Opry, weren't you, the other night?
I was. Two nights in a row, as a matter of fact.
Again, man. That's becoming quite the thing.
I love it.
You love that Zach lives far away, don't you?
I do. And I got to tell him that last weekend when I saw him in Florida. We got to go over Red Jones, a friend of ours. He and his wife, Sherry, they have always have food for for us out there. He does a really good barbecue, smoked Boston butts and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, really, really good stuff. And anyway, Zach came over and was sitting with us eating, and it was Mickey and I and Aaron had come over as well, and we were all kind of sitting there chatting it up and eating and laughing about, you know, times past when I was still in the band and when Hunter was still in the band and all that, you know. And but anyway, yeah, I got to thank him. You know, he was like, I thought about moving to Nashville, and then I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't, and all this kind of stuff. And I said, well, buddy, I'm glad you didn't, too.
That's right. Since you don't live in Nashville, Josh gets to fill in.
That's right, and that's what I like.
Yeah, no doubt.
I enjoy doing that. I got to see my friend, Gene Watson. To see him Thursday night.
He play at Palatka?
No, he was at the Opry. It was at the Opry, yeah.
So you played at Palatka, Florida last weekend.
Correct.
For that festival.
And yes, then, down at Palatka.
Yeah. How was that?
That was great.
Cool.
Great weather. It ended up being really hot, actually,
really warm,
very warm. And but anyway, yeah, it was a great time, great festival, great crowd.
That's a two-day festival, right? Is it all weekend, 3 days?
I think they might start on Thursday.
Oh, wow.
And
I think you're right.
Do a few things. Not a lot, but I think they do something on Thursday.
That's been going a long time, hasn't it?
It has been, yeah.
Who's the promoter? Is that Ernie?
Ernie Evans, yeah.
Ernie Evans.
Ernie, it used to be Norman Adams, did all those festivals for years. And then when he retired, Ernie took them over and does a great job.
Yeah, we need to have Ernie on sometime. I'd like to talk
to
him.
We do. That would be a great, great person to have on here.
Yeah, I've just seen him on Facebook. I've never met him, but Ernie, if you're listening, we want you on the show. So
absolutely.
We want to help promote all the festivals and things that you do, and he works his tail off to promote bluegrass music.
He really does. And you know what was really cool for me is I haven't seen Ernie play music in a long time. He's always been on the other end of it, you know, doing the promoting and the, you know, all the business stuff. But he got to play
I didn't know he played with
one of the bands.
That's
and
awesome.
He did great, man. It was really cool to see him play again. Of course, he said, you know, he'd lost his calluses and all, and I've been there. I know what that's like, you know. So but yeah, it was really cool. It was a lot of fun. So
Well,
he did great.
Absolutely. Well, we've got several people we want to have on, and I've got several in mind, and we've had some great ones on recently, and Marty Rabin and Russell Moore was on last episode, and John Metter recently, and going to have Andrea on tonight. So if you have anybody you'd love for us to talk to, somebody you've always wanted to hear about their story or whatever, hop on our Facebook page, the Hometown Bluegrass Show, and send us a message or a post on there, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Speaking of that, I put a poll on there this morning.
You put a poll on there?
I put a poll.
What kind of poll? Like a dancer's poll?
Yeah, like a dancing poll. So
really?
Yeah.
This
only
is a
only
family
strippers
show.
Can comment on here, but... let's see, Brown Sugar Road. No.
Man, why would you come on? Somebody has that name. And
oh,
my goodness.
We digress.
You do.
Anyway, we put an opinion poll on our Facebook page because...
because we all know what opinions are like.
Exactly, no doubt. But and we're going to do what we want to anyway, but we want to hear from you.
That's
you,
right.
But... so a lot of people do video podcasts, and I've thought about it, and I can do it. It's just a lot of work on the back end of it, and a lot of expense involved. And
well, let's not forget the fact that we have faces made for radio.
Well,
too,
that's you know, true, so. Absolutely. But at least I do for sure. But it's cool to like Tim Surratt, Facebook Live's his radio show that he does, and I think that's cool. So just wanted to know if you thought we should do Facebook Live videos or maybe change this to a video podcast, which obviously would also be an audio podcast, or just no, I wouldn't watch, leave it the way it is. So well, right now it's 71% have said yes, do live videos, live Facebook videos. 19% says do a video podcast, and 10% says no, I wouldn't watch. So, look, three people.
We will call your names out too.
That's right. Oh man, that's funny.
We can't really blame you for not wanting to watch.
Yeah. Oh, lots of people commenting. Wow. A bunch of people on there. So, anyway, your mom voted 12 times. No,
your mom.
Yo mama. But anyway, well, that's cool. Well, get on our Facebook page. We want to hear what your opinion is. Do you want us to do Facebook Live videos while we record this? Because we record this typically on a Monday night, and then I edit it on Tuesdays, and then it comes out on Friday mornings. So we're pretty close to being just a few days, you know, from when we do it. So, but Facebook Live might be kind of cool. If you want to see our ugly mugs on here.
But would that would give away our podcast before it's released?
Well, that's true. Didn't think about that. So we got a lot to think about.
Yeah, maybe we would have to consider, you know,
well,
trying
I could just
a
video
different
it
day.
And then put it out afterwards.
Yeah, we could do that.
Not necessarily live.
That might be good. We could edit
all the crap, stupid stuff we say.
Well, that's not going to happen. We wouldn't have a show.
It would kill our reputation.
That's right. We wouldn't have. We'd be welcome to the Hometown Bluegrass Show.
Yeah, no doubt.
Thank you.
Man. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and here's our guest.
Is there anything else to say? Welcome to the Hometown Bluegrass Show.
Yes.
Oh, man. We can't have that. So, but anyway, check
we've
us
had
out
that before, though.
On Facebook. We want to hear what you have to say about that. And anything else you have to say.
I can think of a couple episodes where we should have played that because that's what it felt like at times.
I know. Yeah, when we're not really feeling it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's funny. Well, it sounds like you've been playing a lot. We got a great show coming up. Let's see. This will come out on Friday, which will actually be the day before Prestonburg, Kentucky.
Yes.
The big fundraiser happening there. I'm going to go and actually try to record some podcasts while we're there. But we've got the disaster relief benefit at the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonburg, Kentucky.
We should definitely consider doing some kind of a live thing there.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good
idea.
Yeah,
that's what Mike was saying. I'm going to bring all my stuff and we'll see what we can do. Tell you who I'd like to talk to while we're there. We may not get another chance. Like it's Ron Block. Is he going to be there playing?
Who's that? Of course he's going to be there.
Well, I know. But I wasn't sure if he,
yes.
Know.
Hey, and I want to say a little shout out to him, actually, because he was traveling back from another gig with some folks, and they hit a deer. And really did a number on the van they were in. So it's good that all of them are safe
No doubt.
And, yeah.
Well, it's so, that time of year, man. It's in Kentucky right now in November. I had to drive to one of our sponsors today, the Lake House Inn, pick up a door prize that they donated for our fundraiser. And along I-24, I mean, it was dead deer. It just everywhere.
Yeah.
It was like crazy. So,
yep.
Yeah, glad they're okay for sure. But,
even though there's a lot, well, the dead ones are probably not okay. So
that's true. Yeah, the ones I
saw. Oh, you were talking about Ron and them. My bad. Yeah, I misunderstood.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah.
I am too. I'm very glad they're okay. Yeah,
absolutely. You're retarded. Anyway, I don't think that's politically correct, so I do apologize for that. But anyway,
can't say that.
Big show coming up this weekend.
Really big show.
November 23rd in Prestonburg, Kentucky, the Mountain Arts Center. Everybody knows it by the MAC.
Yes.
And Southern Legacy will be there. And Authentic Unlimited, the Core, Larry Cordell will be there. Tim Surratt, I guess the rest of Boston Range isn't going to be there, but old Tim's going to be there.
Yeah, the outlaw Jesse Wells. Get it?
I get it. That's cool.
Jesse Wales, but yeah. Anyway, he plays with that Tyler guy. What's his name?
I don't know. Tyler Childers?
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yes.
Kevin Denny and Blue Debut. So got some great music coming up. If you're around Eastern Kentucky area, come check us out. We might put you on the podcast, but there'll be great music for sure. So,
you know, up until recently, I did not even make the connection that Kevin Denny is related to the bluegrass duo Clyde and Marie Denny. When I was a kid, I used to go to Rosine, Kentucky, and play the festival up there and stuff, and all over, you know, the Midwest and stuff, and down in the South and whatnot. Clyde and Marie Denny, they were everywhere. Hmm. You know, Clyde was a fiddle player. And he always had, you know, like really big hair, but he had a hat on top of it and always wore sunglasses, even at night. So he was that cool. Hmm. And his wife, Marie, played guitar and sang. Well, they wrote the Coal Miners, what is that? She told me that her name was Jenny. She lived in a cabin on a hill in a coal mining town in West Virginia. I love Jenny, and I guess I always will.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of that song? I thought I would always want to ramble. I thought I would never settle down. Girl from West Virginia.
There you go.
Well, I met her in the hills in West Virginia, in the heart of a coal mining town. Anyway, they wrote that.
Gotcha.
Along with many, many others.
Yeah.
Cool. But, you know, that's a very well-known song in the bluegrass world.
Absolutely.
But, I had no idea that he was related to them until I saw a post on Facebook where somebody had brought him some stuff, and he said, of my family, and it was a bunch of Clyde and Marie Denny stuff. Huh. And I was like, that's awesome. That I never cool. even thought about that.
That's pretty neat. Pretty neat.
Yeah. Have you heard him sing?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh, man. Wow. So he is on one of Don Rigsby produced an album on Larry Sparks, and he had Kevin come on and sing Tennessee 1949 with him. And I always thought Kevin sounded like a Keith Whitley because he's really good at that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard him sing Larry Sparks, I was like, whoa. He sounds a lot like Sparks, man. Like
really?
This kid, when I say kid, he's older than I am, but this cat is very, very good.
Wow.
Very
cool.
Good.
I can't wait to hear him. I've never heard him before. So that's
oh, he's
neat.
Awesome, man. He had a record deal back in, I guess it would have been the 90s, maybe early 2000s. He had a big song called That's Just Jenny. And a great song, great singer, though, man.
He
sings in Nashville over at the Scoreboard all the time with his band. And I can't think of the name of the band right now, but I'll find it and I'll come up with it. And so that way, if you're ever in Nashville, go see him.
That's
Kevin
cool.
Denny is one of the best singers you'll ever see. And he's going to be there with us.
That's
going to be a blast,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, come check him out. We're going to raise money for the Hurricane Helene victims in far eastern Kentucky. And then a few weeks later, December the 6th, in far western Kentucky at the Kentucky Opry in Josh and I's area, we're going to be having another Hurricane Helene benefit to raise money, and Southern Legacy has also graciously going to come play for that. And also Colton Baker, who's Russell Moore and Third Time Out's bass player. He's got a band together. And I don't know if you knew you were going to be in that band.
Yeah, I did, yeah. Yeah, he asked me if I could play mandolin, and I told him as long as I could borrow your mandolin and your capo.
Oh, man, you're a jerk. You're such a jerk. I texted him the other day, and I said, you got your band together and everything? He goes, yeah, I just need to text Josh and see if he'll play mandolin. And I said, well, yeah, I think you need to do that. So anyway.
Yeah, he did. He texted me. Oh, cool. And I was like, I don't have a mandolin as long as I can borrow Tim's and his capo.
Okay. Man, y'all suck.
I got a text from Dalton Harper, too, that said, yes, I did think that was funny. If you remember,
you
a couple of weeks ago,
he heard it
on one of the shows. Yeah, oh, he heard it. And I said, Dalton would think that's funny. And then I got a text from him back. I said, yes, I did think that was funny.
Hey, well, at least we know Dalton listens to the podcast.
Yeah, he does, man. He does. It's awesome.
That's cool.
I got to take Weldon with me the other night to the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Didn't
love that, yeah. Didn't he? And he got to meet the fella from Yellowstone. I can't remember his name.
Kevin Costner?
No. No. He was performing at the Opry. Young fella. Anyway.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Grimes. Luke Grimes.
Yeah.
Luke Grimes. Anyway, they got their picture made. He was super cool to Weldon.
That's cool.
So I told Weldon, I said, you going to ask him for a picture? And he said, yeah, I can do that. Of course, he's like, yeah, I can do that. It's so weird with him having such a deep voice. And anyway, he was the first one to get him too, man. As soon as he come off stage, the guy took his guitar and he looked at us, you know, and Weldon said, hey, man, can I get a picture? He's like, yeah, absolutely. And like shook Weldon's hand and was really cool, you know. And I took their picture and I shook his hand and said, thank you for doing this. You know, he said, oh, it's my pleasure. Well, super cool. Nice dude, man.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. Yellowstone just came on 2 episodes in, so it's getting crazy.
Oh, I know it.
I love that show. That's cool.
Is it suicide? Is it not suicide?
Dun, dun, dun. I don't know. Oh, me. Well, again, we got Andrea Roberts coming up here in just a little bit. We're going to get Josh to play a song here in just a minute. He don't know what he's going to play, but we're going to play something. And
yeah, that's right. We're going to play something. Yeah.
That's right. So we'll take a quick break. And we'll be right back right after this. Allen Music, located in historic downtown Paducah, Kentucky, is your source for fine guitars and all types of acoustic instruments. At Allen Music, we are experienced and enthusiastic players of everything we offer. Allen Music is family-owned and has been serving musicians since 1976. So stop by and thank them for supporting bluegrass music. Allen Music, 215 Kentucky Avenue, downtown Paducah, or check them out online at allenmusicshop.com.
Custom Automotive in Calvert City, Kentucky has been a family-operated business for over 50 years. When you call Custom Automotive, you'll talk to an experienced tire and wheel expert. They install wheels and tires on thousands of vehicles every year in addition to their online sales. Stop by and thank them for supporting bluegrass music. Custom Automotive, Highway 62, Calvert City, Kentucky, 270-395-7611. Or visit them online at customautoonline.com.
The Lake House Inn at Sled Creek has undergone complete renovation in 2023. Our outdoor space is unlike any other at Kentucky Lake. With 2 in-ground pools, 18 rooms, and 4 cabins, we're just a stone's throw away from Kentucky Dam. If you're looking to make memories with your family, this nostalgic inn is for you. Welcome to your lake house, where modern meets rustic and becomes home. Reserve online at lakehouseinn.com.
Howdy, friends. I'm Banjo Ben Clark, and you're listening to my good buddies, Tim Batts and Josh Williams, on the Hometown Bluegrass Show. You've tuned in because you like valuable conversation about the world's best music. And if you want more good stuff like that, come on over to my website, banjobenclark.com, where you can learn how to play and purchase anything you might need when it comes to bluegrass-related instruments and accessories. My Gold Pick members over there can access hundreds of lessons for banjo, guitar, and mandolin with all kinds of resources to help you move on down the road with your picking skills. And if you're looking to purchase something, the deals can't be beat at Banjo Ben's General Store. All there on the same website, banjobenclark.com. Now back to the show.
All right. Thanks so much to Banjo Ben for their great sponsorship of the podcast. And all you got to do is just go to their website and you can save 10%. Just tell them you listen to the Hometown Bluegrass Show. So thankful for all our great sponsors. I went to the Lake House Inn today at Sled Creek. It's right there at the north end of Kentucky Lake, right by Kentucky Dam. And they actually donated a $300 gift certificate for our fundraiser at the Kentucky Opry. So,
all right.
So excited about that. Appreciate all that they do for live music in our area here in Western Kentucky. So, well, we have come to the portion of the show where Mr. Williams dons a guitar and teaches us a valuable lesson about playing an acoustic guitar.
Kids, don't do it. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, pardon my noise there. I have to readjust my mic.
That's right.
I don't know what key I'm going to do this in. Not that one. Not this too high, too. Let's try this key. This is always an easy, always the right key.
What are you going to do for us, man?
So I had a gentleman actually messaged me a couple of weekends ago and requesting a song. And it's a song that I haven't done in years. I actually learned it from Rhonda Vincent. Yeah, I have not done this song in many years. I recorded it when I was 11, 12, something like that. Can't believe he even knows it. But anyway, he had sent me a message, and I want to talk about that real quick. It's a fellow by the name of Nathan Blevins, Jr., and he's a friend of mine on Facebook, and he said that he is a disabled soldier, airborne ranger, and for Veterans Day, he was wanting to know if there was any way I could do this song called Wishing Well Blues. And I told him that, man, I'm sorry that I was just seeing the message. I said that that we would be doing, you know, our podcast and stuff, and I always perform a song on that. Mm-hmm. And I told him that, you know, whenever he could and I'll send him a message so he'll know that we're doing this week. But I told him I'd be happy to do this song for him on the show, and thanked him very much for his service.
Yeah.
And and all veterans, you know, we sure do appreciate. We know that the price of freedom is not free, so we really appreciate all the men and women of our military. My brother is a veteran. My uncles also. So I have a lot of veterans in my family, and wished that I had done that myself, but I didn't. I took the musical route, and I almost joined the Country Current band, but talked myself out of that for some reason. But anyway, now I'm too old, Tim. But actually, they have the Country Current, the Navy band, has the very first ever female lead vocalist now. And that is Sally. That is Rhonda Vincent's daughter.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yep, sure enough. But anyway, this is a song that I learned from Rhonda years ago. And it is written by a good friend of mine by the name of Marshall Wilburn. And most of y'all probably know Marshall. He's just a fantastic bass player, one of the best there is. But he's also the husband of Lynn Morris. Definitely want to think of her. She's greatly missed in the bluegrass world. But here we go. Okay. Get my lyrics up here where I can see it, because like I say, I haven't sang this song in about 20-something years. Anyway, it's called Wishing Well Blues. There's a sign on the cafe window. It says, close, please call again. If only you'd been wearing that sign on your heart, I never would have tried to come in. They say that true love will make a survivor when a push comes to a shove. But I may as well have tried to hold back the tide as to try to go and win your love. So throw me a penny in the wishing well, knock me my fist on the wood. Sometimes I gotta laugh at this funny old world when crying seems to do me no good. There are nights when I wander on the streets alone, I see your face in the stars above. But I may as well have tried to hold back the tide as to try to go and win your love. There's a sign on the hotel doorway. It says closed, no vacancy. If only I'd known you felt that way, I could have smiled and walked on by. I've heard that true love will lift you off your feet as if you had the wings of a dove. But I may as well have tried to hold back the tide as to try to go and win your love. So throw me a penny in the wishing well, knock me my fist on the wood. Sometimes I gotta laugh at this funny old world when crying seems to do me no good. There are nights when I wander on the streets alone, I see your face in the stars above. But I may as well have tried to hold back the tide as to try to go and win your love. Yes, I may as well have tried to hold back the tide as to try to go and win your love. Something like that.
Cool. That sounds good. I've never heard that song.
Yeah, it's an old one, man. Old Marshall Wilburn wrote that.
Let me learn. So was that on your first album, the very first one you ever did?
That was on the first one I ever sang on, yeah. Oh,
wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, go check it out. Well,
no, don't go check it out. Let's just, you heard it here.
That's right. Heard it here on the Hometown Bluegrass
that's
Show.
That's right.
And when we come back, you're going to hear Miss Andrea Roberts. We are plumb excited to talk to her. She's got a lot going on in her life. We've been trying to get her on for months and months. And I think we finally nailed her tonight. So we're excited to talk to her. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Andrea Roberts coming up.
For over 50 years, Puckett's Jewelry in Benton, Kentucky has been a trusted choice for fine jewelry that will last a lifetime and help you celebrate life's most precious moments. The new owners, Bart and Hannah Lewis, are excited to continue the Puckett's Jewelry legacy in Marshall County and are proud to support bluegrass music. Puckett's Jewelry on the square in Benton, Kentucky. Visit them online at puckettsjewelry.com.
Discover the hidden gems of Kentucky's Great River Road, winding through Ballard, Carlisle, Hickman, and Fulton counties along the mighty Mississippi River. From breathtaking river views to charming small towns, this scenic byway offers adventure at every turn. Explore rich history, savor local flavors, and enjoy outdoor activities like hiking, fishing, and wildlife watching. Kentucky's Great River Road, where the beauty of the Mississippi meets the heart of small town Kentucky. Come for the journey, stay for the experience. Plan your trip today at kygrro.com.
Hey, this is Josh Williams for Page Capos. The Page Capo is lightweight, durable, and quickly attaches and allows you to change frets with ease. With controlled tension capabilities, Page Capo always stays in tune. But don't just take my word for it. Page Capos is also used by folks like Vince Gill, Ron Block, Tim O'Brien, Cody Kilby, Tommy Emmanuel, and James Taylor. So don't trust just any capo. Use what the pros use. Listen to the Hometown Bluegrass Show podcast for your chance to win a Page Capo on every episode. Do what I do and trust Page Capos. Order online at pagecapo.com.
Mark your calendars now for Saturday, November 23rd, as two of the hottest bands in bluegrass music, Authentic Unlimited and Southern Legacy, are banding together with several of your favorite bluegrass artists to present an unforgettable evening of music at the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg, Kentucky. Special guests will include the Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Larry Cordell, Balsam Range's own award-winning bass player Tim Surrett, also appearing is Jesse Wells from Tyler Childers and the Food Stamps, many more guest artists to be announced soon. Blue Debut will be opening the show at 7 p.m. Get tickets now at macarts.com and be a part of this incredible event. The artists are generously donating their time and talent to benefit the charity organization Samaritan's Purse. By banding together, we can all make a difference. Get your tickets today at macarts.com.
That's right. And we hope to see you at the Mac this weekend in Prestonsburg, Kentucky. It's going to be a great time for sure. We got Josh Williams' band, Southern Legacy.
That's right.
And Authentic Unlimited, and lots of great people are going to be there. So it's all for a good cause. So if you're not doing nothing, you head to Eastern Kentucky and go to Prestonsburg, and it's going to be a good time. So, and before that, you heard Josh's amazing commercial about Page Capos, and we're so thankful to have them as a sponsor, and they do give away a free Page Capo in every episode. And all you got to do is listen for the trivia question that we are going to ask. And speaking of that, our guest, we're going to throw that on her, who has joined us right now, Miss Andrea Roberts.
Well, hey, y'all. I'm glad to be on with you.
We are so glad you're here. We're going to ask you a question here shortly, and that's going to be our trivia question. Then people have to listen to the answer, and then they can comment on our Facebook page on Friday and win a Page Capo. So isn't that cool?
Well, that's cool, and I hope I answer the question right.
Well, it's going to be a question you're going to know. So.
Yeah, you're going to come up with the question.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, great.
Well, we have one in mind, but, you know, if you want to change it, that's fine. The main thing is we want them to listen to it. So, so thankful for Page Capo. So, how you been?
They're awesome. Oh, awesome. Doing great. Been very busy, and that's a good thing.
It is. That is a good thing. I know. We've been trying to nail you down for months and months to have you on, and Josh has cried himself to sleep many times because you haven't been able to call in, and so.
I don't believe that for a minute, but.
She just never makes me priority anymore.
I know. You have no idea how many times your name has been brought up on this podcast. Several episodes.
I'm scared about that.
That's actually true,
really,
yeah.
Truly. That's a little scary.
All good.
Known Josh probably about as long as anybody.
I'd say you have. I was going to ask you, so when did you first come to know Josh Williams?
I'm thinking it was 1990, if I'm not incorrect. I think I am. He probably can remember.
I think you're right.
He was like only... Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 90.
Was this when you and Gina got him up on stage to play when he was young? Or is that story?
It is. We had our band, Petticoat Junction, was doing a show up around y'all up in Benton. And we were opening up for Jim and Jesse. And Josh wanted to get up and play on the finale, but he was scared, a little nervous.
Bless
him
heart.
Just little.
It was Jimmy Buchanan playing fiddle, man. I mean, Jimmy Buchanan was.
And it was little bitty Josh.
Yeah.
So we just took his banjo. I think Robin took his banjo, and Gina and I picked him up and carried him up on stage.
So who carried his buck teeth up on stage?
I had those, thank you.
He was cute.
Oh, so cute.
I did have some teeth, though. I will say that. Just the two biggest in the front. But there's a picture still hanging in the Kentucky Opry from around that time. And we got to talking about it the other day, and I mentioned being all buck teeth and banjo. And Tim just thought that was the funniest thing.
Oh, that is so funny.
Well, you're probably not the only one that falls in that category, buck teeth and banjo.
There's a song in there somewhere.
Probably.
Maybe so. At least it's buck teeth and not buck naked and banjo.
Hey, that might be a better song.
You need the censor button.
Dang it. You done.
I told you to have it ready.
I know it. I was going
to
have
that
already.
Where it is.
I know. I got so many things. There we go. Oh,
you got so many what?
So you I said, got so many buttons on this thing.
I know.
Oh, my word. Oh, Lord. So, yeah, I've known Josh a long time.
Yep. Long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. He always refers to you as the sister he wished he never had or something like that.
Yep.
Yep. I always said he is the little brother I never wanted.
Yep. She had. Yep. She said that.
That's how we said it on stage with special consensus. Because, mm-hmm. Of course, Josh was the first person I thought of when the mandolin position came open with special consensus, and I was still in the band, and Josh was a senior in high school.
Yeah.
And I knew as soon as school got finished up, somebody was going to be snatching him in a hurry. So I told Greg Cahill, I was like, Greg, we got to get Josh. And if you're going to do it, you got to make sure that you get on it fast, because somebody will snatch him up. So we did. So it was fun. We would meet up. Josh and I would meet up and drive to Chicago together and stuff. And we went all over the place for the short time that we were in the band together.
Yeah.
So it was really fun.
I think you left like day after your graduation or something, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, it was a
few days after.
Yeah, it was actually graduated on a Friday, and yeah. Saturday we started playing, or maybe it was the following Monday. We had a week's worth of playing at Silver Dollar City.
So, oh wow.
Yeah, that was
so you had a little purple neon, Dodge Neon. Is
yeah,
that right?
It was yes, Dodge Neon. Yep.
And it was purple, if I can remember right.
We'll say it was green, but
Josh. I think it was purple.
Oh, man. He had a purple neon.
It was green.
No, that's hilarious.
Was it?
It was, yes, I promise.
Okay.
Oh, how did I but think it was purple?
Because I had purple lights in it.
Oh.
Oh, you was ghetto, wasn't you?
Oh, yeah, well,
You have a little tinge of that in you?
I had a little bit of, I smoke in pot sometimes. Back then, and you know, so
I thought
it was cool. I thought it was cool, man.
Oh man, I'm gonna censor all this.
Nah, I don't care.
I know, I'm just messing.
Oh my word.
Well, listen, before I forget, we have got to do our Paige Capo trivia, and here's what I think, Andrea. We were talking about this earlier. I think the trivia question this week needs to be, what was the very first band that you played in?
That I played in,
mm-hmm.
The very first band would have been the Bluegrass Rebels in Indiana.
Wow.
And it was very short-lived, but we did record a 45. But it was a super cool 45 that had two songs on each side. So it was a four-song 45. And so the Bluegrass Rebels, I was 14 or 15. 14, wow. I think.
What were you playing, banjo?
Bass.
Bass. Okay, so you were playing bass even
back
then.
I was playing bass. That I just had started playing bass. I sang Little Maggie on it.
Oh,
well, that's cool.
Are there any of these recordings still around?
I think I probably have some melted in a storage unit somewhere, but I don't know.
They're in a big black ball now.
Probably so.
That's hilarious. Well, that's cool.
My uncle put them on every jukebox in Anderson, Indiana. So
that's awesome.
If you were where there was a jukebox in Anderson, Indiana, the Bluegrass Rebels were available.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Well, that's our Page Capo trivia question. So if you're listening, you watch for Friday morning when I post the link to this podcast, and you be the first to comment the answer to that question right there, then you'll win a Page Capo. So cool.
Well, they'll have to listen to know the answer to that, because I don't know that that question has ever been asked at any time.
That's good. And, we try to
somebody somewhere knows.
There might be somebody. And then my very next was an all-girl trio called Southern Comfort.
Oh.
And I did play banjo in that. So I was the banjo player in that crew. So.
Yeah, we want the questions to be where they just can't Google it real quick. We want them to listen, you know, so.
Well, they can't Google either one of those items. So
that's good. That's awesome. So you started young like Josh too, weren't? How young were you? Did you grow up in a musical family and started playing real early?
I was 11 when I went to my first bluegrass festival. It was just a couple weeks after my 11th birthday, and I was not at all happy about it.
Really?
I grew up listening to classic, you know, traditional country music and Southern gospel, but not really bluegrass, other than every time Bill Monroe was on TV, like on the CMA Awards or one of the music shows, my dad would always, you know, point out that he went to school with Kenny Baker. But as far as listening to a lot of bluegrass or attending any, we didn't until just after my 11th birthday. My dad came home with a flyer from work for a bluegrass festival and said, "We're going to be going here for the weekend." And just so happened that I used my birthday money from my 11th birthday to buy the Fleetwood Mac Rumors album.
Oh,
so I was kind of transitioning away from my parents leading and musically. And I was
such
like,
a good record, though.
Got to be kidding me. We are going to go to this hee-haw sounding, no-shoe-wearing
tooth sandwich eating.
Buck-tooth banjo playing.
Cigar smoking.
Footing.
Okay, serious inside joke kids here. Anyway, that was Jack. I can't stop laughing. So the closer the time came to this festival at the end of July, it was in Mooresville, Indiana. And my dad came home with this little pop-up camper that looked like something that you would sell cotton candy out of at the county fair. And I was like, "Oh, you have got to be kidding me. This is just getting worse by the minute."
That's
and
awesome.
So I told my mom and dad, I'm like, "Look, I can't endure this alone." So I took my cousin Francis with me for the weekend. And when we pulled in, like, to the gate to pay to get in, there were kids like my age everywhere.
Wow.
I mean, it was a huge festival. The very first festival that I went to had Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys, the Osborne Brothers, Jim and Jesse, the Country Gentlemen, Mac Wiseman, Ralph Stanley. It was like everybody that you could possibly want to see was at this one festival.
Wow.
And by the end of the Sunday afternoon, by the end of the Sunday show, I was sitting in the front row playing left-handed air banjo.
Nice.
Like, my world was rocked. I was like, okay, this is the greatest thing that has, and literally from that very minute, I haven't done anything but that. Like, we went home. My dad was so excited that I was so excited that we went and bought me a banjo. Wow. We found a banjo instructor close to where I lived up in Indiana. And literally, that's the just within weeks, he traded that little pop-up camper and bought another little camper. By the next year, we had a motorhome and we went to festivals like every single weekend. We traveled everywhere. My dad became an officer in the local Bluegrass Association, and that was it. That was the life changer. And however many years later that is, a whole lot of them, 40, yeah, a lot.
Yeah. 40.
So that's what got me started. And
wow. And the rest is history.
And it's been super fun. Yeah. It's really been great.
Well, that's cool. Well, wow. Yeah, you definitely live the bluegrass life. For those who may have lived under a bluegrass rock and don't know, but obviously your husband, Danny Roberts, plays mandolin with the Grascals, and your daughter, Jay Lee, plays and was just voted female vocalist of the year. And
that is so crazy.
What about that?
I still think of her as a little tiny teeny baby, and the fact that she's out running the roads and making mute recordings and winning awards and stuff is so incredible. We're just so thankful.
I know you're super proud. We had Danny on the podcast a few months ago, and that's kind of how he spoke about it, that he would just give up everything that he's done just to see her. So
yep, it's all about her, that's for sure.
That's cool. That is cool.
But I'm very grateful he's still busy and making, having solo music coming out in addition to all the Grascal stuff and working on mandolins and all that.
Absolutely.
All that good stuff. So it's music here 24/7.
No doubt. Yeah, when he's not on the road, he's working on instruments and stuff there at your house. And he has that business off the bench. Is that what it's called? Right?
That's it.
Yeah, off the bench. And so
it is Mandolin Central.
Exactly. Yeah.
So let's talk about that for a second. Tell me about the first time that you heard Danny Roberts play mandolin in his band.
Oh, Josh.
I just want to hear the story.
He asked that question with this smirky grin on his face.
Okay, so I was first introduced to seeing Danny, and in the early days of my band Petticoat Junction, when we were trying to enter a couple of little band competitions around here after we just got started, and in the late 80s, Danny's band, The New Tradition, they ruled any competitions that were going on. Like, they were going to win first place regardless. Well, to me, I thought we were much better. And I liked our music. But the story that Josh is wanting to get to is, number one, I didn't think Danny was very nice. I kind of thought he was a jerk. And then, so during the Spigma competition, I'm trying to think what year it would have been. The year possibly that Alison Krauss won, the Union Station won. I can't remember. It might have been the year after, but my mom was with me. My mom went with me everywhere. My dad passed away when I was just 14. So mom went to a lot of shows, even though we lived in different states. She came, and so was Spigma. New Tradition was doing their show, their competition, the final round and stuff. And I was like, Mom, let's stand up and boo them. And she's like, what? Oh, and I'm like, I don't like these people. They stop and start and stop and start and do all this stuff. And I was very traditional. I'm like Dale McCurry and Jimmy Martin and, like the polar opposite at that time. So anyway, needless to say, the fact that just a few short years later we got married is a funny one for the storybook. So
I was like, what? You married who? Okay.
But I found out he was so nice.
So he wasn't mean after all, was he?
No, he was not mean in the least. He was so nice. And like we always joke about, 1 year at IBMA, I guess it would have been like IBMA in Owensboro 1991. We had this little janky booth because, like, I was poor and I didn't have any money. And so, you know, we were just, like, trying to do the best we could. And his band, New Tradition, was on the Brentwood Bluegrass label. And they had this video all over CMT and TNN and these big fancy things. And I was like, how did they get all this stuff? And I'm like, you know, cutting letters out and putting stick glue on the back and trying to make it stick to a curtain, and stuff would fall down. And he was the one going and putting my booth and stuff back together while we were off running around. And he would put everything back together and stuff. And so anyway, he was very nice. Aww. I didn't know that till I finally talked to him. And I talked to him because we were at a festival with them and it came a big blizzard and nobody else really came to it. So we did these shows. And so it was like us and them. And so I found out how nice he was. So,
well,
and then that was at the beginning of close to the beginning of 1992. And we got married on New Year's Eve of 1992.
Well,
so it was quick.
No doubt. So 30 some odd years later, and he's just the nicest man.
He is the nicest. And I really love his band. Like, I love the Grascals, but now I really love New Tradition too, because what they were doing was pretty stinking incredible. And their vocals are still pretty unmatched when you listen to the stuff that they were doing. And the arrangements that they were coming up with were very innovative and not just copying somebody else. Like, they sounded like themselves.
Yeah, they sounded and like nobody so else.
Nobody. And it was really incredible. And I was just maybe I was the jerk back then. I don't know.
You'll have to go back and listen to the episode we had with him. Maybe he said that about you. I don't know.
No.
Oh, no.
I kind of doubt it.
Yeah. No, oh, yeah. Didn't. For sure.
I don't know.
That's great.
I'm the rotten one.
Oh, no. That's so cool. Yeah, they the Grascals definitely have a great sound, and they have obviously quite the reputation in the bluegrass world. We've had them twice to our festival in Calvert City that Josh and I do with the Jackson Purchase Friends of Bluegrass, and try to get you to come, but you never do. But anyway, we
I
love
never
having
get to
them.
Go anywhere.
I know, they just leave you at home, don't they?
But, I did. And, you know, that's so cool, too, that I've had the opportunity to work with the Grascals from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Because they started the very beginning of 2004, and they went to all, you know, they had around a record ready to release and stuff, but they went to all the big booking agencies and everybody turned them down. Wow. And so they were like, okay, you booked your own band and stuff. Will you do this for us? And I was like, well, sure. And the timing was right because I'd had Jaylee and we didn't have any family around. And I'd tried being on the road for a little while and with Tim Graves, and worked with him, you know, a pretty fair amount, but I would have to leave Nashville and I would drive to Indiana to take Jaylee to my sister-in-law and brother's house, and then drive back to Tennessee to get on the bus. Ooh. And then wherever we were going, whether it was Florida or Pennsylvania or whatever, then come back here and then go back to Indiana and pick her up and then come back. And it was like, whew, I can't keep doing this. This isn't going to work. So the timing was really perfect that, you know, I was able to continue in the music business without being touring. And so Jimmy Madigan was like, okay, we're going to have a booth at the CMA Music Festival. And we need to have a name. And I was like, and he's like, and we need to have it fast because we've got to get this stuff together. I'm like, the Andrea Roberts Agency? And they were like, okay, that'll work. So,
that's how
that started.
Well, there you
but
go.
It worked. ARA.
Yeah, absolutely.
It worked. And so I've worked with them. There was just a short time that I didn't, I wasn't working with them at all. But when that went on, I had a very full roster of other bands that I was working with. So
yeah,
that's worked out well.
That's awesome. Well, you obviously stay busy with your agency and booking and promoting and everything else that's going on in your world. So you have lots going on. Now, are you still on the board for IBMA? Or
I am. Yeah. I am on the board of directors, and this is my second term. So I've been on a little while now.
Yeah. Now, how busy does that keep you? I mean, do you have to travel with that in any way, or other than obviously the end of the year show?
Yeah, not really. Just you have to be available to attend the board meetings. We always have a spring or early summer board meeting, and then of course be at IBMA for the board meeting and available for. We do Zoom calls to meet and go over things and other. Things that come up, that you kind of get assigned to work on and stuff. But right. I really consider that an honor to be part of that. And I am so excited about our move to Chattanooga in 2025. That's what
I was just about to ask you that, what your thoughts were on that and how big was that for Bluegrass Music or IBMA. And I'm excited about it because it's closer.
Yeah, well, and the folks there are like, genuinely so excited about having us there, and their team of people in Chattanooga are just incredible. There's one lady that like she will get you about so fired up you'd be ready to run and run your head through a wall. Like she is pumped up about having this there, and I think it's going to breathe some fresh life into the whole thing because it all gets to be reimagined and reinvented, and there were a lot of great things in Raleigh, but there were things that needed to be improved on or changed or whatever. And this is our opportunity to do that. And I just really feel like it's going to be super fun and exciting. And I can't wait.
No, that's awesome. I can't wait.
I'm very anxious to see how that plays out, how that does.
Yeah.
Where are they going to have excited. It? Where is it going to be at in Chattanooga?
Well, my mind just went blank on what the net. Oh my gracious. See, I'm now sorry. I'm going to get fired from the board because I can't say what the word. The Lordy days, I can't call the name of the place. But anyway, it's going to be really awesome. And that's where the festival, and then all the rest of the stuff will be in the convention center. The trade show portion and the exhibit halls and stuff. And I haven't got to see the convention center myself yet, but I've seen pictures and talked with other people that have been part of conventions there, and everybody loves it. It's all on one floor, and it's beautiful. I mean, it is beautiful, and I think that is going to be really cool because we're, going to be able to reinvent the footprint of what a lot of that looks like, so it won't kind of be so stale. And then the venues for the Bluegrass Ramble portion are incredible, and they're all like within legitimate walking distance. Like if you were a promoter that was wanting to check out three or four bands that might be playing at the same time during the Bluegrass Ramble, you really could watch like a couple of songs at one place, step out the door, go into another place, catch a couple songs, step out and go into another place. And the footprint of that is much better, and the venues are really nice venues. So I think, you know, it's really going to be great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Chattanooga's a neat city, and I think it's cool that it's coming back to Tennessee. I haven't been since it left Nashville, and that's how long it's been since I've been. Yeah,
Been
a long time. So, well, Raleigh's a long way from Western Kentucky.
Raleigh is a long way away. Yeah. So. I think how the city of Chattanooga is putting it is they're just a holler away.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's true.
Just over, we just got to travel over Mont Eagle, and there we'll be.
There you go. That's always interesting, just doing that.
Well, that is true. So, but it'll be really good. So I enjoy the work with IBMA and all the good work there, and. Always excited to see the Kids on Bluegrass program expanding. That is such an important part of that week at IBMA, and gives so many kids. And Josh, he grew up, you know, it wasn't officially the Kids on Bluegrass program, but when he was a young fella, he was able to take part in what was the early vision of that. And with the Youth Bluegrass All-Stars and stuff. So that's promoting the youth in our music is, to me, one of the single most important aspects of it, because that is what, you know, is the future of the music, is giving as many opportunities as possible to young folks.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
The first time I went to IBMA was 1990, I think. And maybe 91, but I think it was 90. And there were no kids there. There was me.
Right.
And I didn't know anybody anyway, but I mean, I remember just being there and meeting all kinds of, at the time I was a banjo player, so I met all these banjo players and stuff, you know, but there wasn't really any kids my age there until like a couple of years later when they did put that youth band together.
Well, there's a lot of kids. I went to Spegma last year, and walking through the hotel, I have never seen that many jam sessions in one building, and it was all like teenagers. Every jam session, it was just crazy.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, so hopefully we're really getting a young group of pickers and singers coming up, you know, in bluegrass music. So,
well, and it's great too that there are more and more collegiate level opportunities too, so that you know, if there are kids that want to go to college but want to actually study bluegrass music and get their education, a degree in bluegrass or music business or whatever, there are just more and more great programs for that, which is really great. So
right,
very exciting.
Absolutely. Well, I know you're so stinking busy, and gosh, we thank you so much for being with us. What's next? I mean, you guys just trucking along the Grascals and everything else that's going on?
Getting stuff ready for the Grascals for 2025 and working on. I'm always behind the scenes on Jaylee's solo music that she's doing. So she has a brand new single getting ready to release on November 29th. We haven't revealed the name of it yet, but she did tell everybody today that it is a classic Lonesome River Band cover. Oh. It's her first cover, bluegrass cover, that she's recorded. So
what does she mean by
really
classic?
Older.
Like, are we talking original band? Are we talking old country town band? Are we talking middle of the road there? Like, what we...
You're trying to get it out of her. Right?
We're going... I can't tell you because it'll... Although by the time this airs, it will actually... Because it airs on Friday?
It'll air, yes. Right,
yes.
So it'll actually be known by then. So it's
are you sure?
In the very much early days.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Cool.
It's early LRB.
Gotcha.
Cool. And you'll really and Josh, you'll really love it.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna, because you'll know once once you see what it is, because we listened to it a lot. So don't say the words.
Did I kind of sort of do it one night on the station inn with somebody playing mandolin with me?
You might have kind of sort of did.
Okay.
And the name of the tune is.
Yes, it is. That's it.
So,
oh, man, that's great. Oh, cool.
So, well, yeah, I'm always working on that. And
that's
then
awesome.
I've got some other things that I'm working, that I'm doing too these days. That's exciting, that we haven't made super public yet. So you'll have to circle back around to me on the for another podcast, and
definitely,
we'll talk about the next step of what's going on.
Can we go ahead and get on your schedule now so we can get you in for next year?
Absolutely.
Oh man!
But yeah, it's just been so much fun. I had had so much fun recording or playing with Josh out on the road. He was always very entertaining.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I couldn't imagine being in a van with him and Cahill at the same time.
Well, I will tell you one thing that he taught me.
Oh, Lord.
And, well, this might be a little tasteless.
Just do it.
Yeah.
You know you want to.
We're all fans.
That you can light farts.
Oh. Yeah, she didn't know that.
Well, see, you educated her.
That was not a thing I knew anything about. Like, that was not like.
And now she does it all the time on her own.
So I did learn that in our van.
You're welcome.
There's no telling what else you learned too. So.
I was like, wow.
Oh, that's great.
What about that?
Wow. Yeah, he does that all the time when we're recording. It gets kind of hairy sometimes.
Oh, my word. But yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Yeah,
we did. I'm sure. No doubt. Well, thanks for taking the time to be with us, man. I knew this was going to go a little off the rails. I didn't know exactly how much. But
he's been trying to get people to say something about me every time we have an interview,
yeah,
and
please.
He was so looking forward to talking to you because he knew he might could get something out of you.
We can continue longer. I mean, what all do you want?
I want something good.
I ain't scared.
I mean, I've got an arsenal, really. I mean,
yeah.
See, that's where you have to be really careful, because
yes.
If you say something too much about somebody else,
right,
they might decide to turn it around on you,
mm-hmm,
and we don't want
that's
that.
Right. You might end up in Bluegrass Unlimited magazine or something.
You never know.
John Lawless might do an article about you and put it on there. That's funny.
But it's been, I have to say, it has been a fun life. And I would not change anything about it. All, you know, it's just been a privilege and honor to meet so many people and have, you know, heroes become friends and to be involved helping people start their careers, you know.
So
and
that,
just
that doesn't happen in other genres of music that I know of.
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean,
mm-mm,
I've never heard of that happening like that.
You
know, being able to call heroes your friends and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, well, how and like how you grew up. You know, when I was a kid, I was, you know, sitting in front of my motorhome playing my banjo, and Don Reno came wandering up and said, "Can I sit down and pick with you?" And I was like, "Well, sure." And Don Reno got his banjo out and sat and played with me, and then, you know, put his band. And every time he saw me after that, he'd say, "Sis, are you practicing that banjo? Are you practicing and stuff?" And it's like, that doesn't happen. Or you don't get to get in a jam session, you know, and sing with the, you know, Jim McReynolds part with Jesse McReynolds and do, like, you know, those things don't happen for other people. And it really is such a family.
And it's just like, I've talked on this show several times, you know, it's just like having Crow, you know, like Weldon, the first 4 years of his life, thought Crow was his grandfather. He didn't know any different, you know? I mean, because Crow was just always around, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, your heroes become like family to you, you know?
Yeah.
They really are. And you know, sometimes in a lot of cases, you see your music family more or communicate sometimes even more than with your mm-hmm. your actual family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you grow to learn about their families at home and their kids and grandkids. And yep. it's so connected. And it's just really, it's a, you know, it's a wonderful thing. I absolutely, has it always been easy? No. Is deciding to have a two musician household the smartest idea? Not necessarily, but boy, I wouldn't change a thing. It has really been, you know, it's been a blessing, and I love it, and I just can't wait to keep trucking along. Mm-hmm. Although I'm surprised, it's a little crazy to think about, but I'm moving into the older age of people in the business. It's like, how did that happen? I should still be 25, right? But no, but you know, that's the other beautiful thing about it is, you know, there's no age limit on this music. As long as you love it and you are part of it and however you are, you know, it's just in your heart and soul and that. It just carries on.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to make you feel really old because between now and the time that this airs on Friday, I will turn 44 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, right?
Oh, hey.
I was just 10 when you and the girls took me up on stage. And to play with Jim and Jesse and Raymond McLean and Jimmy Buchanan.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, and I'll be 44 on Wednesday.
I'm going to get my little walking stick out from the closet here when we hang up.
Go take your Geritol there, Grandma.
Toddle into the living room.
Oh, go ask Paul where your glasses are.
44.
44.
Shoo, doggies.
I know it.
Well, time but flies. You're still a baby.
Yeah.
You're still just a baby too, Josh.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, man. Well, thank you, Andrea. Thanks for taking the time. We thank you for all that you do for bluegrass music and your whole family. And we just love you to pieces and think you're one of the greatest people, period, and definitely one of the greatest people in bluegrass music. So that's how I feel. I don't know how.
Well, I'm pretty partial. She is my sister, I love you.
Yes, that's right. I love y'all, and I really appreciate you having me on. It was super fun, and gosh, we got a lot more stories to tell, so we'll just have to book a slot in 2025.
All right, put us down so we can get on your calendar.
Awesome. I hope all the listeners have a wonderful Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that good stuff. And make sure to support Paige Capo and all the other sponsors of the show.
That's right.
Yes.
And y'all are awesome. I appreciate it. It was fun.
Well, good. We're glad you had fun because we sure did. So, all right. You have a good night and tell the family we said hello.
We'll do it. Y'all take care.
All right. See ya.
Bye, sis.
All right, bye.
Oh, man. That was fun. What do you think?
You can't make this stuff up, man.
You just can't make it up.
No, it's all true.
I know it.
I love her. She's just the greatest.
I know. I think I could have gotten some more out of her had I really pulled, but I just, you know, I didn't want to push it, so.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you didn't.
Oh, well, it would have been all right.
So. Oh, yeah.
Well, we're going to try this new outro and make us sound all professional. So we're going to do things a little different this time. So.
All right. Well, give it a shot there.
Thanks so much for listening to the Hometown Bluegrass Show podcast. You can find us on every major podcast platform like Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and on timbatz.com. If you like this podcast, please share it with others.
Don't forget to go and leave a review, too.
That's right. Thank you so much to our great sponsors like Paige Capos and Banjo Ben Clark and Allen Music Shop.
lakehouseinn.com.
The Lake House Inn, Puckett's Fine Jewelry, Custom Automotive in Calvert City, and the Great River Rose. Finally, if you do like this podcast, take a moment to leave us a review and a 5-star rating so that more people can discover bluegrass music. We are very passionate about bluegrass music.
We love it.
And we work our butts off to preserve and promote this great music that we do love. So thank you for listening. We appreciate your support and all that you do for us. So been a good one, man.
Yeah, buddy.
All right.
You not going to quote Briscoe Darling there?
I am. I just want to make sure you're done. You have anything else? That's right. Remember, if you got time to breathe,
you got time for music.
That's right. We'll see you next time on the Hometown Bluegrass Show.
I want a two and away we go.
It troubled her mind so. Such a fine man wasn't washed in the blood of the Lamb. He smiled and said, tell Grandma if it pleases her to know that she